This is the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, home to the growing business community of trade finance stakeholders and institutions, making this asset class investable. I'm Andy Duckworth, and our guest today is from the latest member of the TFDI, Mercor Group. If you're not familiar with Mercor, it has two main business lines. One, as a non-bank financial institution, Mercor Capital specializes in the provision of trade and supply chain finance to SMEs and customers transacting with developing and emerging markets. So that financing activity runs alongside Mercor's second business line, which is the provision of anti-financial crime and due diligence services. Now, Anthony Wadsworth Hill is one of the co-founders at Mercor. Hi, Anthony. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a real pleasure to be invited to do one of these podcasts. I've watched several of them in the recent weeks since you guys first asked me to participate, and I think it's a really excellent initiative.
Great. Good to hear it. Now, just quickly to start, can you give us a little of your background and how did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Would love to. So, I'm part of the co-founding team at Mercor. I'm the deputy CEO and the chief operating officer. My main focus to date has been building out the trade and supply chain finance capabilities for Mercor. That plays very well into my background. Prior to Mercor, I spent 20 years in the finance industry. Most of that is in trade finance, and most of that is working for a bank which was heavily focused in providing trade finance to corporate entities in Europe, but with trade flows into the Middle East and Africa. So trade flows that tend to have some fairly complex factors that we need to consider. And it was those aspects that led us into seeking to setting up Mercor, because there's been a lot of de-risking also in that perceived higher, more complex risk space.
Well, just tell us a little bit more about Mercor, how it started and where you are today.
So as you mentioned, Mercor Group has two business lines. And on the face of it, those business lines can be a bit of a complex story. Some people may say to us, are you a compliance company or are you a trade finance lender? The reality is that all lenders need to do compliance, and they need to do that to keep their license to be able to offer financial services to their customers. But what we've seen in recent years is that these banks and traditional finance providers have really struggled with the compliance challenges. And this has led to a vast array of regulatory fines being issued to banks of all shapes and sizes. And these Section 166 restrictive notices, in particular in the UK, issued by the FCA, which requires banks to do a lot of remediation work to their customer book so that they can be fit and start to write new business and write new transactions. Now, Mercor came about through the co-founding team, which has areas in different spaces of expertise. My other co-founder and the CEO of Mercor actually runs a large compliance consultancy business, and that business has been going for 10 years and has been supporting these large banks get through these remediation issues and uplifting their KYC requirements so that they can get those restrictions lifted. But during that time, he observed a trend that each bank and each project that he started had a greater flavor of trade finance customers in the portfolio. And it seemed that banks were really struggling to deal with the KYC and AML requirements of managing a trade finance portfolio. And when one of these restrictive kind of notices comes in from the FCA, or banks are potentially haven't got one of those notices, but they can see that their portfolio is coming under strain. The first thing they do is look at their portfolio and see where can they trim it. And what we saw is that it was the SME customers in particular that were feeling the impact of that. Because they have smaller transaction sizes and lesser volumes, they create a lower commercial profitability opportunity for the banks, and therefore they were seeing a lot of de-risking. So against that background, we said, well, we've got a business that can do compliance very well and fixes banks and helps them get through these compliance issues. So we know how to remediate tricky customers and customers that require enhanced due diligence. So why don't we do it right and get it right from the get-go and then maintain that in a well-ordered way and complement that with a lending service along the side? And that's kind of the seed of how we started Mercor, from fixing the KYC issue.
And you've touched on it there, but why are you different? How does Mercor differentiate itself in the global trade space? How does this contribute to closing the trade finance gap?
So a lot of trade finance lenders, bankers, and NBFIs start from the position of it being a credit assessment focused business. Now, I'm not saying in any way that credit isn't an absolutely key thing to consider. But it's almost credit comes first and KYC comes after. We have from the get-go always taken an approach that where we are a compliance-led business from the get-go. And we have built our own proprietary KYC system underneath this, which sits within one of our subsidiary companies. It's a technology solution, which is really trying to fix the cost of compliance at its core for customers that are required to go through EDD. So Mercor starts from that position and then overlays the again, incredibly important credit aspect over that and the assessment aspect there. But we really do take a compliance-led approach to these transactions.
Great, Anthony. Which types of corporates are you interested in providing liquidity to? In any particular geographies? Which kind of industries?
So to date, we have been predominantly focused on SMEs and typically UK entities. But those UK entities have had trade flows as we mentioned with developing and emerging markets. Again, that's led. Led by the fact that these developing and emerging markets create complex risk factors, because some of those jurisdictions sit on FATF higher risk categorization lists. So we typically help in those sectors. So our risk appetite isn't limited specifically to SMEs and UK entities. But that has been specifically where the focus to date has been. We are now making headway on other origination channels though, and in particular, we've been focusing on East Africa, and we have a collaboration agreement with an entity down there to support us in our origination of flows from that market. Again, that's a market or a region that has a lot of complexity. And a region where traditional banks have reduced their risk appetite to that, and there's a genuine need. We spent quite a bit of time in Kenya looking at that market as an example, and it's really complex. But also in the SME market, and we're also making headway in through the Americas through working with an origination partner based in New York there. So again, we're a very global and international business, and we really seek to solve those problems that people may shy away from, because typically cost of compliance means that it's it's too cumbersome to start with, but we lean right into that and take that head on.
And what kind of instruments are we talking about? What do you offer clients?
So what we found is that when an SME customer comes to us with a financing need, typically they're just saying they need a loan. But then when we look at their business, we see that they have a variety of interesting debtors in the receivables, and that we can probably structure a better solution for them than what they originally thought. We always try, wherever possible, to utilise a lot of the good work that's done by the International Trade and Forfeiting Association and their collaborations that they have with law firms like Sullivan's to use market templates wherever possible. I think overall that's meant that we can offer solutions in the space of receivables and payables finance, but other forms of more structured trade finance involving various forms of collateral. And with some of the recent developments of the Electronic Trade Documents Act, we've been an early adopter of digital negotiable instruments, again, leveraging the excellent work of ITFA and their Digital Negotiable Instruments Initiative in terms of the specifications and the templates that they have provided, together with working with Inigio as a technical solution to enable us to create digital original bills of lading and promissory notes. And we see a lot of promise in this area. And we've also had success in April of this year. Merkle won the best use of interoperable digital trade in the banking sector. That was at the inaugural ICC Digital Trade Awards, and it was for a transaction that we executed financing the purchase of sugar from Nicaragua into the UK by a UK-based SME. And that was done against a digital electronic payment undertaking, which has all of the same features as a digital bill of exchange. And with the new ETDA becoming effective from September, we could look to do that as an actual bill of exchange going forward. So it was a really, really excellent moment for us.
So it sounds like you're ahead of the game in this space in those terms. I mean, the Electronic Trade Documents Act, I mean, is that a big deal for you? Is that going to change things enormously? You know, how significant is it?
Because we are a relatively young and new fintech group, we were established 2.5 years ago. So we don't have any of the, let's say, legacy systems and infrastructure that some of the existing lenders had. So we started with a blank piece of paper. And we started with a blank piece of paper against the backdrop of knowing that this act was going to be coming in a certain moment of time. So it's led us to develop our operational processes to align to digital execution. And we've been, you know, we've effectively been given a blueprint from the leading market bodies, such as the ICC with their Digital Standards Initiative, and ITFA with their DDoC specifications and the DNI initiative, together with the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative, to really provide a platform for originating digital transactions and distributing and syndicating those digital transactions. So having the Electronic Trade Documents Act come into play is very significant for us, because we've sought to build ourselves out digitally first. Doesn't mean we're exclusively digitally, but digitally first.
This is the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, featuring the co-founder of Merkle Group, Anthony Wadsworth Hill. Now, Anthony, what types of liquidity providers are you working with at the moment?
So, as mentioned, we're a fairly young company, 2.5 years established. And in fact, the capital business we're only a year into that now. And to date, we've been broadly self-funded. And we've worked with a small pool of investors, providing us liquidity to support our needs with our current SME customer base. But we're now entering a phase of scaling our business and obtaining more investment via a private convertible loan note round. In addition to that, we're seeking to work with institutional investors via securitization, and, you know, hence why we've been having a lot more conversations with TradeTech. as we see this will enable us to scale up our offering, not just with the SME segment, but also delve deeper into the mid and large sized corporates. We see this combined with the digital negotiable instruments as a key area of growth.
We'll talk about trade tech in a moment, but I just wanted to ask you about credit insurance at the moment. Are you relying on that? How are you risk scoring transactions?
Sure. So from a risk scoring point of view, we've developed our own risk rating methodology. We risk score our obligors and debtors, and then we overlay that with a risk scoring of the transactional structure and security to derive an overall facility score. We all know that trade finance deals have had an extremely low default rate, and that assessing these transactions in the past has been a fairly blunt measure by many institutions, kind of led by the Basel capital rules as well around allocation of capital in banks. But we seek to take all of these factors into consideration to try and provide a blended rich view of the obligor and the transactional risk combined. Now, in terms of the credit insurance aspect, we particularly see that as going to be of significance when we're working with institutional investors on the funding side. So as we start to lean into more of this securitization business, that's going to play a much more prominent role. We have worked also in the insurance space around certain transactional structures where perhaps we are looking at providing pre-export finance to support certain companies, and there's elements of performance risk, and we would look to take out surety bonds or other forms of insurance around those structures to support us. So we see insurance as a key enabler to driving transaction origination. But you know, like with most banks, we wouldn't do our underwriting of transactions solely reliant on the basis that credit insurance is there. We need to assess what we think are the likely potential for any default events, and if we think that it is going to be likely, then we wouldn't even consider the transaction. So we really see it as a tool to enhance our risk mitigation and also to enhance the ability to obtain institutional investor funding for those transactions that we originate.
Let's talk a little bit more now about technology and the role of technology in your investment activities.
Sure. So Merkle Group has two operating subsidiaries. One of those is Merkle Capital, which we've talked about quite a lot. So that's the non-bank FI entity. But the other subsidiary is effectively a tech company. And it's that tech company that contains all of the intellectual property around our KYC platform and the platform that we use to assess various financial crime risks associated with trade finance lending. So technology plays a massive part of our business, and it's key to drive those strong operational efficiencies and operational resilience. And there's a growing demand from customers. Customers now want their lenders and their banks to engage with them digitally, be that either to have online digital portals and tools, or if you're working with them across a variety of different transactions, an ability to have an API connection and upload a schedule of transactions and interact with them in that way. So we really see that technology is plays a key role in our business and is going to play an even more key role in the business going forward, particularly as we seek to explore other aspects with trade tech, which obviously is a digitally led securitization service. So we really take the approach of leveraging digital solutions first wherever possible, and also have a mantra that if we ever have to key one piece of information in twice, we've engineered the process wrong somewhere. So So that's one of our other core principles in how we apply our process engineering and development at Merkle.
That's a great philosophy. Yeah, I'm endlessly doing that. So yeah, I failed miserably there. And touching on that, let's talk more a little about trade tech. So how do you use it and where do you see that relationship going in the future?
Our relationship with trade tech is emerging, I'd say. So we've been having discussions and some really excellent discussions with the trade tech team over a number of months. They've given us a really comprehensive view of how the platform and the technology works and the various solutions. I don't come from a background of being involved with securitization and working with those parts of the market that naturally take up those assets. And I think that's at the heart of what trade tech is seeking to do, to make trade finance an investable asset class. So they've given us a lot of confidence around also the other side of their platform, which is the institutional investors who are actively seeking to invest in these trade finance assets, and an understanding of the typical investor mandates there are for these types of transactions. We had previously thought to date that perhaps you needed to be a non-bank originator with substantial origination volume to be able to get involved with this. And what we've now come to understand is actually you don't need to be there, be in that position at a starting point, and you can grow with trade tech and the institutional investors that sit behind it over time, starting, you know, perhaps at a smaller amount and grow your utilization of the service, yeah, into the tens and hundreds of millions thereafter. So we see trade tech being a really key part for us going forward. We see that our underlying customers are going to benefit from the fact we're using securitization as a service to also create a good level of liquidity costs for them. As an MBFI borrowing in our own rights, that can also create cost of funds challenges and aspects around that. So using securitization where we can really anchor the cost of the funding to the quality of the underlying assets that are being securitized will play a massive part in what we can originate going forward.
And finally, Anthony, you're going to be speaking at the Trade Finance Investor Day. It's a big event in October, just outside London. You're on our originator panel, and the title of that's Making Deals, Aligning with Investors to Attract More Liquidity. So what kind of themes will you be touching on in that, do you think?
So the themes I plan to be touching on there is an aspect of what I just referred to in that securitization. From the way I see it, it doesn't need to be restricted to just the big asset originators. Other emerging entities can start to play a role in that. But also the themes around due diligence on underlying customers and how we can make the smaller transactions more bankable, more investable. Previous concerns around regulatory fines or getting access to that information has been deemed too complex. And with Merkle, we're seeking to find a more efficient way and demystify that and bring a level of confidence to the investor base around the underlying key factors that are happening in those underlying transactions to get them comfortable with it. The most, a lot of the issues that banks have been hit with in recent times hasn't necessarily been credit losses. There've been losses that have been derived by fraud or being derived by failures in financial crime controls where the biggest penalties have been issued. And that's what keeps the accountable executives in these organizations awake at night, and we want to help them sleep better.
Brilliant. And events like the Trade Finance Investor Day, why are they important? Why is it important to get people together?
So for Merkle in particular, we haven't spoke to the other side of the trade tech platform actively before. So having access to these institutional investors that are keen to invest in trade finance and keen to understand what we're doing and work out how we can deliver to them a neat investable transaction that has an unconditional and irrevocable payment undertaken from a decent quality debtor or obligor, and really bring that to life for those guys and get them to understand the good track records and the strong aspirations that these underlying customers have is a really unique opportunity. A lot of the time when we're just communicating perhaps through emails and we're more just looking at right names and offered yields, etc., it doesn't necessarily tell the full story. And sometimes to bring these deals to life, the best way to do it is to meet someone in person and really get under the skin of some of these facilities and opportunities that could come to fruition.
Well, I look forward to meeting you in October, Anthony. Thank you so much for joining us and speaking to the Trade Finance Distribution Initiative podcast, and we wish you all the best for the future.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening today. Please subscribe to stay in the loop for all of our videos and podcasts. And before we go, just a reminder about the Trade Finance Investor Day, where you can meet Anthony. It's our big event at the end of October at the 5-star Grove Golf and Spa Resort, less than an hour from London. Go to tradefinancedistribution.com. There's a link at the top of the website sending you to all the details, agenda, ticket prices, locations, and don't forget those ticket prices include accommodation as well. tradefinancedistribution.com.